Welcome to the Good Morning Hamilton podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. We introduce you to the new leader of the Ontario NDP. A local restaurant group is ready for the holiday season. Where are gas prices heading over the next few weeks? Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens have egg on their face. Find out if interest rate hikes will be paused in 2023 and the Stars on Ice return to Hamilton. The GMH podcast starts now.
This is the Good Morning Hamilton podcast on 900 CHML.
I know we have a few mayors that, don't want to play in the sandbox, and one being Mayor Crombie, and I don't know what her issue is.
That is the voice of Premier Doug Ford telling the mayor of Mississauga and other municipal leaders like Andrea Horvath here in Hamilton, Marianne Mead Ward in Burlington, all voicing opposition to Ontario's new housing legislation. He's basically told them to, hey, stop whining and get on board. Let's pull the rope together. Is that the right approach? I don't know. I do know this. Ontario's housing crisis is one of many issues that our next guest is taking aim at. Pleased to welcome to Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML, Marit Stiles, the newly acclaimed leader of Ontario's NDP. Marit, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting me.
Have you had time to digest what being the leader of this party means?
Well, it has been a busy few days, I'll say that. But, I've been spent the last few months traveling around the province and talking to lots of new Democrats, but also lots of other Ontarians about what they're looking for and what they need from the leader of the official opposition, what they need from government. And I think what I'm hearing over and over again is that while this one campaign, this leadership campaign may be over, the real race that people want us to run is against Doug Ford. And that's what I'm going to be focused on for the next while.
What does your husband and two daughters think about this move? Are they excited? are they nervous? What are their reactions?
Yeah, they're a little nervous for sure. My daughters are, young adults now though. So, they got their own lives going on, but, they're a little nervous, but they're also really excited. They're very supportive. I'm pretty lucky. And, we know that my dogs are a little less happy, I think. They know they're not going to see as much of me, but yeah.
Andrea Horvath had a pretty good run as leader of the Ontario NDP. Yeah. The question that many are asking is, can you take the party to another level?
Well, for sure. I mean, Andrea, achieved so much for our party. We're an official opposition for the second time around. We're a party that has a really strong team, really strong MPPs. Some of them from your own, not too far from you. And in Hamilton, we've got Monique Taylor, Sandy Shaw. We have a very strong team, and Andrea got us here. And I think that the next step is to continue the build, to build on that momentum, to connect with people, to inspire them, and to have them believe that we could actually do better. That what we're dealing with right now, because I think a lot of people have been kind of conditioned to some extent to think that, the kinds of situations we're having in our hospitals or in our schools is kind of normal. That's as good as it gets. And that's what, that's kind of what Doug Ford wants you to think. But that's not it, right? That's not normal. That's not how Ontario should be. We can do a lot better, and we need to develop a plan to prove to people that we can do that.
Marit Stiles is our guest here on Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML, the new leader of the Ontario NDP. One of the big issues, and there are many big ones in this province, is housing. Premier Ford's housing plan is committed to building 1.5 million homes over the next 10 years. Part of that plan is eating up some greenbelt lands. If Marit Stiles was the premier tomorrow, what would the plan be?
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be to cancel the paving over of the greenbelt, the development of the greenbelt. This is, and I think for most people out there, even people who supported Doug Ford in the last election are telling me, we did not sign up for this. He said he wasn't going to touch it. He broke that promise. And there's no good reason for it. That's what's so, I think, making so many people angry. There's no good reason to develop in, prime farmland, which we need. Our farmers need, our communities need that food. And there's no reason to pave over our fragile, wetlands. So it really isn't about housing. I think we all know that. They call this a housing bill. They say this is about housing. But this isn't about housing. This is about Doug Ford doing a favor for a few very wealthy people who invested in that land. And some of them did it very recently. We've asked the Auditor General to investigate that because, to me, Where there's a lot of smoke, there's probably fire. I want to see what's going on there, and I think they should be repealing any legislation that they passed that would tape over that important space.
We only have 90 seconds, and it's clearly not enough time to talk about the healthcare system and what needs to be done. We do know that there's long wait lists, staff shortages, burnout, overcrowding, overcapacity. What needs to change?
Yeah, we've got a crisis, and this government isn't treating it like a crisis. They're throwing a few Band-Aids on the system, and they seem to think, I mean, Doug Ford said the other day that when the Children's Hospital in Ottawa called in the Red Cross, they were thinking outside of the box. Are you kidding me? This is not what we signed up for in Ontario. This is not normal, and the government should be acting like this is the crisis it is. They need to be throwing everything they can at supporting those healthcare workers, and that means also making sure that they repeal that wage freeze, which the courts just overturned. I mean, they need to stop treating people so badly. Our healthcare workers deserve respect. If we do not treat them well and we do not address this crisis, we're going to see an even bigger crisis because people are going to leave and they're going to go and find work elsewhere.
Marit Stiles is the leader of the official opposition, the Ontario NDP. I really appreciate your time. Best of luck going forward.
Thank you so much.
That is Marit Stiles, leader of Ontario's NDP. A lot of heavy lifting to do from here until, well, the next election, that is for sure. But they're in, you know, decent position, being in second place. Whether they can retain that or escalate that going forward remains to be seen.
You're listening to the Good Morning Hamilton podcast from 900 CHML.
Some great things to see and do here locally as well, including visiting an awesome local restaurant. There's so many to choose from. And one of the best things you can give a coworker, hint, hint, a friend, maybe even a family member, is a gift certificate to a local restaurant. The good news is there are many to choose from here in Hamilton. It's all part of our Shop Local feature this week at this time. Matt Kershaw is a chef with the Other Bird Restaurant Group and joins us now on Good Morning Hamilton. Matt, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. You must be busy at this time of the year.
Yeah, December is known as the time that I work extra. it's a great month. It's nice to be back to normal.
Do you have time, because it's so busy, to create new menu options at this time of the year?
Yeah, we're usually working sort of 3 months ahead of time. People are planning their corporate parties, you know, pretty early, so we've got our menus out quite a bit ahead of time.
So what are the trendy meal options these days?
You know what? Everyone still loves turkey, you know? It's an annual tradition, and that's what people love.
Really? So I've never done this, gone to a restaurant and ordered turkey.
Yeah, I mean, at Rapscallion, for instance, we do you know, change things up a little bit. Like I debone a whole duck and I still have a full of turkey and chicken and have a turducken just for, you know, just something a little different. And we'll do turkey stuffed, debone stuffed wings. And yes, it's a little different, but we still have the traditional meal available. And I would say that's still the more popular.
Is the turducken actually good?
I'm pretty biased, but yeah. I mean, it's rich. It's bad for you. I think it's great. Yeah.
Well, if it's bad for you, it's probably good. Matt Kershaw is a chef at the Other Bird Restaurant Group. It incorporates the Mule, Burro, Rapscallion, Hunter & Company. Restaurant gift certificates, always a popular item under the tree. And that is a great gift because there's so many great local restaurants, like I just listed.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's at least it's something that someone's always going to use at some point. They do forget about them sometimes. I'll admit that. But we had one come in the other day that was 9 years old.
Wow.
And we, of course, honored it. But it was amusing to see our original handwritten little scrawling, and someone had to make sure it was real. So.
Did they say where they found it?
I don't remember, no, but everyone had a good laugh.
Wow. Must have been like in the sofa or something like that. Hey, we still got a gift certificate to the Mule. Let's go. Speaking of the Mule, you guys are expanding.
Yeah. We made some big decisions over COVID and came out of it in a new shape, I'll say. We recently sold the Arlington Hotel in Paris to a local company, Carmen's. And with that and some other moves, we are planning on expanding out into the restaurants area. We have a place in Cambridge and a place in London, a Mule, opening up in the spring.
That's remarkable because, you know, in the depths of the pandemic very early on, obviously, you know, people in kitchens, restaurateurs were struggling because you guys really had to pivot. And now it's nice to see that you're on the upswing.
Yeah, I'll say that's an understatement for us. it's a huge relief. Things, this is the first year in, was it 3 years? That feels normal. Like the numbers seem normal. The staffing seems normal. Everything feels like it used to, which is a great relief. And expansion for us, we're really excited for. There's a lot of, you know, the Mule was, it just turned into this awesome thing in Hamilton. We loved it and love it. And, yeah, we think we can do it again in other places, and that's what we're planning on doing.
There are obviously still challenges ahead, food prices being where they are. Inflation is obviously a factor. What's the impact of those two things?
It's not fun pricing menus right now. Yeah, honestly, when I put menus out and we look at the, what the costs have to be, because we have to hit a number for to make money, sometimes it's awkward putting the price on the menu. So, yeah, it's not pleasant, but, I mean, it's happening to everyone equally, so we'll see where that goes.
There is some incentive to go partake in a local restaurant, especially those downtown, because at least for the next month or so, it's free parking downtown.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, I was wondering why I didn't get a ticket the other day.
There you go. Matt, appreciate the time. Best of luck with the Mule expansion and the other restaurants under the Other Bird Restaurant Group umbrella. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much.
That is Matt Kershaw, chef with the Other Bird Restaurant Group. And as you heard, they are busy and finally back to what feels like normal again. So that's some good news.
You're listening to the Good Morning Hamilton podcast from 900 CHML.
Well, if you've driven around the city and have filled up from time to time, you will have noticed that gas prices over the last, well, few weeks have gone lower and lower and lower, which, hey, no one's complaining. No one is complaining at all. But experts say the low gas prices that we are seeing and that we are loving may not last too long for a number of reasons. Let's get into those reasons with Roger McKnight, Chief Petroleum Analyst at Enpro International, and joins us now on Good Morning Hamilton. Roger, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very fine indeed, and good news, tomorrow gas prices are dropping by 3 cents.
Wow, that is amazing. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mystery, but I think you should grab it while you can, because I don't think it's going to last forever.
So what are some of the reasons that gas prices have tumbled over the last number of weeks?
Well, it's really been a push-pull with supply and demand versus consumers' concern about inflation and the recession. And I think the latter is winning because the interest rates keep going up. It's intimidating the consumer to the point where really, am I going to have a job in the near future because of this recession? And even if I do, can I go out and afford the things that are on the shelf because of inflation? So that's sort of gradually bringing down demand for gasoline and refined products, which has forced prices down.
When it comes to producing gasoline and oil, has there been an uptick, or have we seen a lower production element, and what's the impact of that?
No, as a matter of fact, the refineries are running, and I've got to talk U.S. numbers because we don't have any Canadian numbers available from the government, but the U.S. refineries are running at 95% capacity, and this is December. That's astronomical. It's a good sign for the refining industry when you can keep up with lowering inventories. Inventories globally of refined products, including crude oil, are in a tight situation. But the refineries are often called the black sheep of the entertainment committee. Are doing a marvelous job.
If they're running at 95% capacity and you call that astronomical, what is the normal percentage that we would see at this time of the year?
Oh, I would say 89 to 90. In one area of the United States, the refineries were running at 103%, which is 3% above design, so you can't go much faster than that.
There are many drivers who are probably thanking the Ford government for cutting the gas tax, at least temporarily, which has helped, obviously.
Oh, obviously, that could change. That's about a 5 cent a liter knockdown, but I don't know how much longer he can carry on with that. I think he's promised to go. I don't know what he's promised, to tell you the truth.
It seems to have changed each and every day. Roger McKnight is our guest on Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML. Roger is the Chief Petroleum Analyst at Enpro International. I mentioned geopolitical pressures earlier on in the show.
Yes.
What are we looking at? What are those issues that are going to pressure gas prices?
Pressure gas prices up. I think before I start, I think consumers should take advantage of the prices right now, because it's not going to last. There's going to be upward pressure on gasoline because geopolitical factors, including the situation in China, where the lockdowns for yet another COVID outbreak have met resistance from the general public, and so that would increase demand for gasoline or for crude oil from China, because the lockdowns will be forced to open up. The other thing is that the drawdowns from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve will end. That's about 900,000 barrels a day of crude that's going to have to be replaced, and that's going to force crude prices up, which will force gasoline prices up. Then the EU ban on Russian imports will mean more imports of crude will have to come from the U.S., which will increase the cost of crude in North America and put gasoline prices up again. And the final thing is the $60 barrel cap that the G7 and Australia have put on Russian crude. If you think our premier is a bit unpredictable, President Putin's even in a worse shape, because what he could do in that regard is just cut back production completely and just jack up the price of Brent crude, which is the crude that really drives prices in eastern Canada. So it's kind of a complicated answer, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we're entering a tenuous situation, because this is really the first winter of this Russian-Ukrainian war, in which who knows what President Putin's going to do.
That's right. And in 15 of the last 16 years, prices tend to start moving up end of January and into mid-February, and then slow down in after Memorial Day weekend. But so there's going to be people are going to be in for a bit of a shock, I think, in January, maybe end of this month and into January. It's going to be rather interesting indeed.
Do you have a price projection for the end of the year?
Oh, God, I knew you were going to ask that question. I think we're going to stick it in and around about where we are right now. The lowest we've got, this is the last time we hit $1.35.9 was a year and a half ago, in July of 2021. And the highest we hit was $1.82 in end of October this year. So that's quite a spread, and I don't think that spread's going to be maintained.
You also recommended that people act now. That I'm just envisioning hordes of people at the gas station with their jerry cans filling up.
No, I didn't mean like in the next hour.
We have some time.
Certainly, I would take this as a Christmas present from I don't know who, but it's a pretty good present.
Well, thanks, Santa Claus. Roger, we thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome indeed.
Roger McKnight is the chief petroleum analyst at Enpro International. You heard him. Get to your gas station now. No, you got some time. You got a few weeks to do so until prices start to creep up a little bit more.
You're listening to the Good Morning Hamilton podcast from 900 CHML.
Why has Montreal Canadiens goalie Carey Price landed in hot water? Well, here's just a snippet of what's going on in Quebec.
Instead of discussing Carey Price, we should be talking about those groups who use promo codes such as Poly. This is so unacceptable.
So let's get into this. That's the voice of a Quebec legislator who is criticizing Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens after Price publicly supported a firearms rights group in the days leading up to the 33rd anniversary of the Montreal massacre, which was commemorated just a couple of days ago. So what's the blowback here, and what may or may not happen? Moshe Lander is a senior economics lecturer and an expert on the economics of sports, gaming, and gambling at Concordia University, and joins us now on Good Morning Hamilton. Moshe, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
This is not a good look for Price or the Canadians. Let's start with Carey Price and that part of the story, a very ill-timed social post.
Yeah, it was an interesting post. I mean, you know, his support of guns rights is completely his choice. His support of the particular group that is connected to his support for gun rights was a little more interesting. And the fact that this guns right group was using a 10% off code if you type in the word Poly, short for the Polytechnique school, was really questionable. And then, of course, there was the entire PR disaster that really came after, when there was this confusion about whether he really even understood what that Poly massacre was.
And that's where the Montreal Canadiens, the franchise itself, ended up with some egg on its face.
Yeah, they compounded the problem because they came out and said that he didn't know really what he was wading into. And then he came out subsequently and said, yes, I did. Not to say that he was comfortable with what was going on, but he was saying that, you know, I've been in Montreal now for over a decade. It's not like I don't see that anniversary every year, and it falls during the hockey season, and it's a major part of you know, the Montreal post-secondary scene for all of the universities out here. It was impossible for him not to know. And then they've been stepping on each other repeatedly with sending out tweets and Instagram posts that seem to contradict each other, almost to the point that they're not talking to each other or aware of what the other one's saying.
It's a bizarre scenario. Moshe Lander is our guest on Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML. Moshe is a senior economics lecturer with an expertise in economics of sports, gaming, and gambling at Concordia University. So despite the public relations disaster, is there an impact economically or the value of the franchise, or, you know, are people going to say, you know, cancel my tickets? What is the blowback in all this?
Yeah, so the amazing thing is that probably the blowback is going to be about zero to the bottom line. Carey Price isn't playing. He hasn't played in a while. It's unclear whether he's going to play again for this team and whether he's just a goodwill ambassador, although that's kind of a comical thought in light of this recent event. But, you know, the Canadians have been doing a lot of PR damage to themselves, and, it doesn't seem to be hurting them any. Their miraculous Stanley Cup run during COVID, I think, created a little bit of goodwill that they can now burn off for the next little while. But the reality is that it's now a franchise that's over or approaching 30 years without a Stanley Cup, which in Montreal is catamount to, the Boston Red Sox going 86 years, or the Cubs going over 100 years without a World Series. That's where the damage is being done, is that the team is not a winner anymore, and the fans are starting to slowly lose interest. You're seeing empty seats at the Bell Center. I don't think that this event is going to accelerate that or change that trend any. If he had been playing, it might be a little more of a concern. It might create a little more reaction in the stands when they see him, but he's invisible now, and so it's more the tweet of or the Instagram post of somebody in their memory rather than somebody that's currently a part of the team.
Athletes nowadays, and perhaps more than ever, have a bigger megaphone than ever. We think of, you know, Michael Jordan and LeBron James, Tiger Woods. All these megastars have a huge platform to deliver their message. In light of this, do you think maybe even, NHL teams, let's just start there, will say, hey, listen, guys, listen, players, be careful what you put out on social media. Obviously, they're already doing that, but does this magnify their message?
It does. And you're right that players do have a much larger platform. I'm thinking more along the lines of Kyrie Irving in the NBA,
right?
And the terrible, terrible damage that he's done with his social media interaction. If teams try and mute players and say, you can't say anything like that, it's not like the players are going to accept that or respond kindly to that. And even if they were to somehow accept on some level that, okay, my main account can't be used for that, my thought then is to go the Kevin Durant route, where you have like five different burner accounts and you tweet out whatever you want under various names, especially with the weakening of the way that the Twitter is being supervised now with Elon Musk. You could easily create a Carey Price account where the I is replaced by an L or the number one, and everybody would quickly realize who it is. So I don't know that the teams are going to want to get into that sort of regulation and restriction. I think it's the teams are going to have to decide, do they want to employ people whose opinions don't necessarily coincide with their own? And that's no different than any other company where if you say something that doesn't reflect the views of your employer, the employer has the right to terminate your contract or sideline you. I think that's much more likely to be the way that it would play out than to say, we're going to control your social media platforms.
Certainly Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens made the hot water that they found themselves in a lot more muddier. That is for sure. Moshe, really appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime.
That's Moshe Lander, senior economics lecturer and expert in the economics of sports and gaming and gambling at Concordia University. Certainly, I'm not subscribing to the fact that athletes should not be allowed to express their views. They should be. Absolutely, they should be. But they should also be extra careful because they do have that massive platform and a huge influence. And by the way, the social post that Price put a couple of days ago, holding a rifle in his Instagram post, the gun he's holding in that post, in which he's basically slamming the government for its gun control legislation, that firearm would be legal. Would be legal under the government's current legislation. So there's another interesting tidbit to all this.
You're listening to the Good Morning Hamilton podcast from 900 CHML.
For the seventh and final time this year, the Bank of Canada has increased its key lending rate at 4.25%. The interest rate now sits at its highest level since 2008. So what does this mean for inflation? What does this mean for everyday Canadians going forward? Ted Mallett is the Director of Economic Forecasting at the Conference Board of Canada and joins us now on Good Morning Hamilton. Ted, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks.
It sounds like this last hike was inevitable.
We've been seeing massive hikes through the summer and the fall, and the half-point hike that we saw a few days ago was actually one of the milder ones. Back in the old days, half a point was considered very significant, but now it looks like we've reached almost the culmination point, so I'd be surprised if we saw any more large hikes, maybe a small one, but it all depends on what we see for inflation in November. Those numbers will be released in a week or so.
There was some debate as to whether the Bank of Canada would rise or would increase the rate by a quarter or a half a percentage point. For everyday Canadians, that's a big difference, of course. What is the difference when it comes to the Bank of Canada in deciding which number to choose?
What they're trying to do is quell inflation as quickly as possible. So their efforts are thinking of raise rates quickly and then hold off when they feel that they've done their job. So if they felt that they were only making incremental changes, then inflation might not be coming down as quickly as they'd like. So they want to hit it hard quickly, and hopefully they'll be able to get into a stable situation for next year. And there's room. I mean, if we can bring inflation down, and I think the signs are that it will be starting to come down over the next several months and quarters, there's probably room for between 1.5% and 2% rate cuts over the next couple of years. So 4.25% is the rate that we're seeing now is the benchmark. We think that the long-term average is going to be closer to 2.5%.
Long-term average being within the next 5 years?
We'd say probably within the next 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's good news for variable rate mortgage holders.
Yes. It's always a question of betting on what's better to go variable or fixed rates, but it certainly favored those with fixed rates over the past year. But we do feel that the bank has kind of reached almost its zenith in terms of where rates are. There's probably some more room on the U.S. side of things, which means that if the U.S. rates go a little higher than the Canadian ones, it would put pressure on the dollar to come down. So there may be some of those elements as well playing into the economy.
Ted Mallett is our guest here on Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML. Ted is the Director of Economic Forecasting at the Conference Board of Canada, and we're reflecting on the Bank of Canada's latest interest rate hike announcement. It's now up to 4.25% after going up half a percentage point yesterday. We're being told that this is probably, and you mentioned the word zenith, this is the pinnacle, this is the summit of their interest rate hikes. Why didn't the Bank of Canada say, I don't know, back in June or July or sometime earlier this year to say, you know what, we're raising rates by 2 percentage points. We're not going to do this gradual climb. What would the impact have been?
I think that probably would have been too much. There's no precedence for that kind of rate increase because at that point they didn't know the behavior of inflation over time. The war in Ukraine was still fairly new. Commodity prices were still very elevated at that point. So there's a lot of unknowns, and the tea leaves have to kind of get much clearer for the banks to sort of figure out, the Bank of Canada to figure out what kind of measures. So the 1% increase that they put in last summer, and then the 3/4 rate point increases through later on in the summer were also very strong signals that they were trying to bring inflation down very quickly. It's been fairly resistant to change, to say the least. Rates have been disappointing in the U.S. particularly, where they are running faster than they are in Canada. But at this point, we feel that the rates are now so far above the neutral rate, which I said before is around 2.5%. That's now putting some brakes on the economy. We've already seen signs of that because in the 3/4, consumer spending actually declined in Canada, with certainly the higher cost of housing or borrowing meant that buying durable products, cars and appliances and so on, were much more expensive. So we've already seen the impact is already started to gel within the economy. We are seeing a slowing economy, and we've been predicting that for quite some time. Whether it actually hits recession or not, it's a bit of a moot point. We're basically into zero growth for the most of the early part of 2023. So, these are measures that hopefully will work themselves out more quickly. If the bank had done a slower job at raising rates, then we probably would have had more persistent inflation and a much tougher time bringing it down, because people's expectations on prices also feed into waging expectations, and those are very tough to bring down over the short term.
Ted, is it almost automatic that if we do get into recession, as many economists are predicting sometime next year, that inflation will automatically come down?
It certainly will be help, because with a recession, it means that people are not spending as much. And if you're not spending as much, then there's less demand on the supply chains. And if people are stuck with inventories, and there seem to be a lot of stores in the U.S., indicating that they've got inventories that they're having difficulty selling now, which means that there's going to be price cuts on these things. So that all plays into lowering prices, or at least lowering the rate of increase of prices. So we think that that's going to have some measure on solving this inflation riddle.
Well, we'll all be following the bouncing ball, and Ted, you'll be able to assist us going forward. Thanks for your time today, and enjoy your day.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That's Ted Mallett, Director of Economic Forecasting at the Conference Board of Canada.
You're listening to the Good Morning Hamilton podcast from 900 CHML.
Looking for something to do, perhaps over the holidays or maybe in the new year, or maybe just maybe thinking of that outside-the-box Christmas gift. Well, I will point you towards the 2023 Stars on Ice Tour, because as of tomorrow, tickets go on sale for this tour. And this tour includes a stop at Hamilton's First Ontario Centre on May the 6th. Starsonice.ca is the website you got to go to get your tickets. One of the individuals who will be participating, and there is an enormous slate of amazing figure skaters, world champions, Olympic competitors, Canadian champs, including Elvis Stoiko, who's our guest here on Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML, a two-time Olympic silver medalist, three-time world champ, won the Canadian Figure Skating Championship seven times. Elvis, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing these days?
Pretty good. We're actually on tour right now, doing the Christmas run and then preparing for the spring tour as well. So lots going on.
Yeah. You're on the Ice Holiday Tour with Stars on Ice in Sudbury this weekend, in London as well, at Budweiser Gardens on December the 11th. What is touring like?
Oh, man. I mean, it's a lot of rehearsal time the first week, tons of hours on the ice, and then we travel as a big family, planes, trains, automobiles, hotels, and then just get up the next morning, pack up, go to the next city, and then do it all over again. But it's great, because we have such a great camaraderie with the old guys like me and Kurt, and then, Patrick Chan's be with us in the spring too, but he's retired now, but we still come a young kid, so we've got a good group of skaters, and we're just excited.
What is the difference between competing at the Olympics and World Championships and preparing for those and then participating in what is referred to as a show skating event?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hours of prep that we do in rehearsal. So if we're doing a show on a Friday, we'll show up on a Monday and spend, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day putting the show together. Usually Jeff Buttle has all the choreography set up, and, you know, we prep for the show. When you're getting ready for, getting ready for competition, it's more intense in regards to training at home. And you do have to train at home to get ready for these shows as well, because there's a certain level you need to be at, but you're not at, like, peak level, like the training when we used to do quads and all of that. It's very, very difficult. So the training and the mental setup is different. There is still a lot of the focus that you want to perform well, and you still have that intention to be on for the show that night. But sometimes, you know, some nights you can adjust your program depending on how your body feels, because doing show after show after show after show, even when I was younger, it's really difficult to sort of keep that up. So, you know, we got to stay in shape and stay focused, and you know, we have a job to do and perform. But overall, there's a lot more enjoyment because we can really perform for the audience, because we're not doing it for the judges and the marks. It's just for the audience applause.
Our guest on Good Morning Hamilton on 900 CHML is Elvis Stoiko, world champion, Canadian figure skating champion, and part of the 2023 Stars on Ice Tour, which will come to Hamilton May 6th at First Ontario Center. You can get your tickets. StarsOnIce.ca would make for an awesome Christmas gift. You mentioned the body and the rigors that you put your body through. You turned 50 earlier this year. Did that number hit you differently, and are you skating a lot differently?
Well, it's a great question. I actually felt, when I turned 50, I felt great. I've been feeling really, really good. And it's just, you know, just staying in shape. I don't try to allow my body to kind of lose a certain level of fitness, because it's really hard to get that back. So I stay focused on that throughout the year. And then as we get closer to the shows, I just bring it up a notch. Also with nutrition and things like that, I got to stay focused on what I'm eating and what I'm drinking and so forth. So it's just really important that I'm cognizant of that, because my body changes, and it's changing so much in the last number of years as I get older. But I've been really lucky, knocking on wood, that it's been handling the all the training, the rehearsals, and the travel.
So what you're saying is you don't have a dad bod like me.
I can't mention, because I don't know what your body looks like, so I'm not going to say anything.
It's much different than yours, Elvis, I'll tell you that. You mentioned Patrick Chan. He's joining the tour in 2023. What is it like getting some new participants involved?
Oh, Patrick and I traveled a number of years on tour, and he's been off for a couple years on hiatus. I know he got married, had a little kid, and he's busy doing family life, but now he's going to be back, and it's so great to have him back. He's such an amazing skater, a great guy, and it's a great addition to the tour. So with myself and Kurt and Patrick and the rest of the gang, it's just going to be exciting to have him back.
You were the bomb in the mid-90s, late 90s, winning all sorts of events, all sorts of medals. When you're away from skating, what are you up to?
Oh, well, I'm focused a lot on my acting, and I've been teaching a lot of acting, but my main focus right now is racing. So I've been racing cars and doing that this summer, so I'm just focused on that as a new career, and hopefully going to move into that sort of on a full-time basis in the next couple years.
That is pretty exciting. Elvis, thanks for joining us today. Best of luck with the Stars on Ice Tour.
Thank you so much.
That is Elvis Stoiko, two-time Olympic silver medalist, a three-time world champion, and a seven-time Canadian figure skating champion. An amazing career that is continuing with the show skating events. The 2023 Stars on Ice Tour makes a pit stop at Hamilton's First Ontario Center May the 6th. Would make for a pretty cool Christmas gift. You can get your tickets online at starsonice.ca.
Thanks for listening to the Good Morning Hamilton podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday mornings from 5:30 to 9 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
The Good Morning Hamilton podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm Rick Samprin. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, so you never miss an episode. And make sure you rate and review.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.